Always welcome our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor to the microphones at Ask the Mayor and then online at WHLC.com. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
In the papers, so many things to discuss, and the Highlander warning, no trailers over 30 feet, and the NCDOT Highway Patrol offer no solution on reoccurring Colusaja Gorge issue. What are your comments on that?
I've been involved in trying to address that issue for a number of years. I think I've done more as a mayor to try to correct that situation than anyone else. First, we put in the radar signs. I worked with DOT, and I also coordinated with the town of Franklin, Bob Scott, when he was the mayor, and Jimmy Tate with the county, that we needed to address those issues. The first thing the DOT put in, and it took, you know, several months, was a radar flashing sign. So if a big truck is coming down Main Street headed toward the Gorge Road, lights come on, trying to make them aware of the signs. And then if they're coming up from Franklin, the same system is in place. That was the first step. The next thing I did, I worked with the DOT again, Brian Birch, who was the division engineer at the time, and Steve Buchanan, who was in charge of those kind of regulations. And we all got together. The DOT was able to take the initiative and change the wording on those signs to say no trailers over 30 feet. The problem is with those big tractor trailers, which are 55 feet, that get stuck. It took some time, about a year, but those regulations were changed, and just a few months ago, the signs were replaced to where you can only carry a trailer that is no more than 30 feet. If it's over 30 feet, you can't use that road. Has that helped? I hope it's helped. It certainly makes it clearer for the truckers that if you're hauling a big tractor trailer rig, do not go up that road. With that said, the State Patrol's involved in trying to enforce it. We've worked with the State Patrol. We've worked with DOT. If a trucker is delivering to certain businesses, I know those businesses in Highlands tell them, do not come up the Gorge Road. Steve, before this recording, we were talking about this. The ultimate solution, put a checkpoint with a manned operator here in Highlands and down in Franklin. That's right. 24/7. Is the state willing to do that? Should we be doing that? I don't think that's going to happen.
This past board meeting, boy, there was an agenda. The highlights there, of course, we had John Lapoli Construction sort of getting in on a contract about the cleaning the bathroom, also the STRs, a second opinion for a lawyer. Let's go through some of the highlights.
With the increase in tourism and traffic, they've discovered an increase in water and the need for cleaning supplies. So John came to the board and requested an adjustment to the contract. And of course, the board accommodated that. We had a proposal for getting a second opinion concerning the STR issue and the recommendations by the planning board. We will be having that public hearing coming up this coming week on Thursday at 5 o'clock at the community center. After that special meeting where we received and reviewed some aspects of the planning board's recommendation, some of the town board members, especially our work group on this issue, Brian Steeler and Amy Patterson, felt like we needed to get a second legal opinion concerning those recommendations and possible changes to our ordinances in the residential areas related to short-term rentals. I think that was a wise decision. The board reviewed a proposal by Attorney Chad Isick of Raleigh at this last meeting to do a review of the situation with short-term rentals. That will just be more information for the board to consider. Let me emphasize one thing. We will be having that public hearing this coming Thursday. One of the points that I emphasized at the meeting in my mayor's report was the board will take no action at that hearing. It is simply an opportunity for the public to express their views about the recommendations. The decisions about how to change the UDO and will occur at a later time. At the meeting, Commissioner Patterson brought the School of Government land use book, which is kind of the definitive document on issues of land use in the state of North Carolina. I kind of suspect she's probably read all of it. But she was very pleased that we're going to now do another second opinion. We will have on the town website the procedures for doing the public hearing. Let me just do some highlights. People that would like to speak will have 3 minutes to speak, and they will have to sign up either before the hearing or prior to the hearing. We'll open the doors at 4:30. The hearing will start at 5. On the website, there is an email address where someone can email a request to speak. 3 minutes means that we would have about 20 speakers per hour. So that's one of the things that we want to make sure that everybody has a chance to speak. I'm asking that we keep the written comments to 500 words or less. A person can submit a written comment in addition to them speaking, or I know some people will be out of town. You can simply email or mail your comments to the address that we'll have on our website. We'll also be doing a YouTube video streaming of the hearing, so someone who's not able to attend can actually listen to the comments that are being made. One of the things that was brought up at the town board meeting was that if there's an organization or a group who would like to speak and have a designated speaker, they can yield their time to that designated speaker, and they'll be able to speak for 15 minutes on behalf of any group that's been identified. Two things that I would like to encourage people to do. The recommendations by the planning board are also on our website. This public hearing is really for a response from the public to those recommendations. So a lot of personal experience and commentary. I know that has a bearing on this issue for many people, but I would encourage people to address those issues that have been identified by the planning board. And then also, if you submit a written comment, you need to put at the very top of it that it's for the public hearing on February the 24th, and then you need to identify who has written the comment. I will not take anonymous statements. Everybody needs to be willing to weigh in with identifying who they are.
A series of approval for grants. We want to get some grant money to help us with a clarifying tank and Dog Mountain water assessment. The plan has been worked on. What was the assessment of that?
First of all, we had to reapprove the 2019 water assessment management and master plans. That was a study that we'd been working on achieving for a number of years. Many of those priorities we've already addressed. For example, one was the replacement of the water line, the 2-inch water line on Moorwood, the water clarifier tank at the water plant, the Dog Mountain water line, which is an aging 2-inch line, and water tank replacement. That's a priority. And some of those items, like the water clarifier tank, are multi-million dollar projects. And given that there's so much money now in the state and federally to fund those kind of water project initiatives, we have hired Withers Ravenel Consulting Engineering Company to help us apply for those grants. And part of that is we needed to reapprove that water assessment study of 2019. And then we had to have resolutions to apply for American Rescue Plan funds. We had the meeting on Thursday night.
The budget amendment for the ice rink compressor, and you've got a portable storage building near Hotwire. We need some of our own space there for some of the equipment.
Yeah. Lester Norris came and gave us an update on the situation with our ice rink compressors, and this is the way cars and equipment always happen. We had a 5-year warranty on the compressors. This is the 6th year of the compressor's use. So we've lost the compressor. It's going to take about $13,000 to replace it. There are 4 compressors in the system. We can run 3 as long as we don't have real hot weather or warm weather spells. 3 can do the job.
At that head-in location for Hotwire, we've built a portable storage building.
Matt Schuler came before the board to request a portable storage building. It'll have to be electrified, and it will have to have climate control. We will be storing our IT equipment for the town in that building. Part of the contract with Hotwire was that we would give them the total use of that building, and that is the lower end too. So now we're having to bring in a storage building for our computer equipment that we have in the town. People don't know this, but I'll go ahead and tell you. We built a very nice storage building at the sewer plant. And we store all of the Christmas decorations in that building. You wonder, where do those decorations go after the Christmas season? They go to the sewer plant. And we have a very nice, I've been there, and it's all organized, and all the decorations are hung and stored in that building. This is kind of the spirit of that. We always need storage space. We have another building at the lower level of the parking lot at the rec center, and that's where all the ice skating equipment is stored during the off season.
I'm going to try to lead this in correctly just because you were there. Red line documents were asked for by Commissioner Hain. This is when you were developing the contract with Hotwire, and Commissioner Hain asked the board to have those directed to him. What happened?
When we were developing that contract with Hotwire, our attorneys were working with their attorneys in coming up with a contract. There were drafts, if you will, red lines, which were constantly being exchanged. I never did see them. No town board member saw them. And actually, our staff didn't see them. And we do not possess them. They are not public documents. The School of Government has ruled that those types of drafts are transient documents. They do not have to be retained. We don't have them. Commissioner Hain wants them for the retreat. He made the motion to direct our town manager to ask for and seek those red line documents between the attorneys. The board did not pass that motion. That's the way it stands now. If those documents exist, I know our town attorney doesn't have them, but if they do exist, they are in the hands of those private attorneys, and they're their documents and not the town's.
And also, Commissioner Hain had asked the town to pay him some money that he paid attorneys. Is that correct?
That's what I thought when I first was made aware of that situation. But that's not the case. And I don't think the town would do that reimbursement. It wasn't pre-approved. He was asking our town manager to write a personal check to him to reimburse the attorney's fees. The idea that somehow maybe our town manager had done something wrong in not providing certain broadband documents to him in a timely manner. Our town manager, Josh Ward, was pretty vocal that he and his staff did provide those documents. It's a very complicated process that we won't go into now. I will just tell you what my stand is, and I made this publicly. We do not exchange personal checks in any way in this government. If we go down that slippery slope, we're asking for problems that would be really unacceptable for the operation of a straightforward government body. So I do not accept this idea that we should be reimbursing one another with personal checks. I think that is bad policy, and it will not happen on my watch as mayor.
A little lighter side. May we? February 26th, you're going to be with the Atlanta Race Club again on the B team, but that's all right. You're the B team. You'll be in a race in Atlanta on Saturday.
Well, I've been training. I love running. I am really looking forward to the race. I hope I'm in condition and ready to make the Atlanta Track Club 70 to 74-year-old team proud of my performance. There's always pressure. It's kind of like, you know, any kind of competition. You don't want to let your teammates down.